together.
Well, good morning, everyone. We finally found our room because we're all a bride of Christ, right? This is the bride's room, we call it here. Yeah, thank Gracie. She came early this morning, and the fellowship hall is all arranged for a wedding, and they moved all that stuff in the family room. All right, well, we're here to pray, and let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you we can gather, and we thank you for this beautiful room, Lord, and comfortable chairs and comfortable temperature and no rain, no wind. And Lord, as was mentioned, I think I heard a word, quiet. So Lord, help us to quiet down and open our hearts to you and help us to listen to your word this morning as you would speak to us. Thank you for always speaking to us. It's not that you don't speak, it's that we don't listen. So give us ears to hear and then a heart to do, Lord, a heart to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in Psalm 112 today, as I mentioned last week. Psalm 112 is really a companion to 111, and both of them are 10 verses in our English Bible, and they're an acrostic, so they're really 11 little stanzas of two lines gives you the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And these acrostic psalms, it's usually believed that they were used through pretty much Israel's history to teach the children to memorize them, because it's like us with the ABCs. If we know each verse starts with a different letter, it helps us to remember them. So this is an acrostic psalm, so chances are there's a lot of little ones that have memorized it. Psalm 111 was all about God and his works and his awesomeness, if you remember last week. And today now we have kind of the sister psalm to that about man, and it's basically about man being blessed by God for those who are righteous. And so you will see things in here that probably are very encouraging. You may see some things in here that are a little bit convicting, but it's all, we're not glorifying man here at all. We're glorifying God that he works, allows us to do things through his power, through his spirit, and through his provision. And he is gracious and compassionate. We'll see that gracious and compassionate. We'll see that again in today's psalm, which is always there, right? Let's begin with Blessed Assurance, an old Fanny Crosby hymn, but it does have the word blessing in it, and so we can fill it in a little bit. A couple of stanzas here. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Psalm 112, the blessed state of the righteous. It begins as Psalm 111 did, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, or praise and keep praising the Lord. And as we just sang, we want to praise the Lord all the day long, right? So we're off to a start here at 6:30 anyway, so that's good. Praise the Lord. Blessed, or really it's a plural word there in the Hebrew, blessings. Blessings on the man who fears the Lord, or blessing. This is like the Beatitudes. The is isn't in the original. It's just blessed the man who fears the Lord, delights greatly in his commandments. And so they put these little words in there to help us. In some cases they do, in some cases I'm not so sure, but at any rate here, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now we ended up last week on that last verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. So this just follows right on after that perfect companion psalm. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now look at that a minute. How often are you delighting greatly in his commandments? I don't do that very often. I think of them, and I think if there's something I should keep, something that are good for me, but do I desire them greatly? Good question. Verse 2, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The righteous person who lives a righteous life, it passes on to his posterity. His descendants will be mighty on earth. This is not necessarily mighty in physical power, but mighty in spiritual strength and mighty in the eternal issues, the eternal foundations, and so forth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You've seen that. If you look at each of our lives, generally speaking, you'll see ordered lives. You'll see lives relatively free of chaos. not free of trials, not free of afflictions, not free of problems. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about when the problems come for the unrighteous, they go crazy. They're all crazy anyway. Problems are no problems. I'm talking about, I don't really mean mentally deranged so much as without direction, right?
Right.
Try to herd a cat, a flock of cats, or whatever you call a herd of cats, whatever it is, they all go in different directions, right? That's like we are, aren't we? Without the Lord. But the generations of the upright will be blessed. It doesn't say there's a chance you'll be blessed. It says will be blessed. And can you think of a time the Lord hasn't blessed you? Yesterday, man, I got the word that this happened and that happened. It was all bad news. It wasn't a blessing at all. Yes, everything is for your good, that God will work through all things, right? Number three, wealth and riches will be in his house. You might say, well, it hasn't hit my house yet. But in the context, the wealth and riches here is spiritually, really. What's important, material or spiritual? Material is all going to pass away. The poorest people in the world right now are probably the richest, materialistically. They are so caught up in their riches, they have no room for the Lord, they have no room for the spiritual. All about making money and more money, right? But wealth and riches will be, that's put in by the translators, will be in his house. And listen to this, and his righteousness endures forever. If you go down to verse 9, his righteousness endures forever. And when you look at that first, or at least when I looked at that first, I thought, well, I don't have any righteousness, I hope. This is not self-righteousness we're talking about. This is about his righteousness in us. So his righteousness causes us to have that righteousness, and it's forever. Isn't that beautiful? What a God we have. We're all passing away in these bodies, and all the things we're working toward are all going to pass away, but his righteousness in us will never pass away. You think you got problems? Look at it from an eternal perspective. You've already won. You've already won. But when God says he's going to complete his good work in you, how's he going to do that? Oh, Lord, save me from problems. I don't want any problems. Oh, you want to stay just your same old rotten self, right? You don't want to get any better at all, right? So when does our faith grow? When we have no way out and we have to depend on the Lord. So I don't know how many trials you got, but maybe you need even more to turn to the Lord. I don't know. But he will never leave you nor forsake you. And his righteousness in you endures forever. Now, this is really another great verse here along these lines. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. What's going on in your life right now that's really darkness? Did you get some really bad news this week? Again, did you get a series of bad news this week? And it just looks like the clouds are covered up everything, and there's just really no light at all. But unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. We read often in the scriptures to rejoice. Now, there's no way we can rejoice in circumstances. Some circumstances are really bad. Some circumstances are everything but rejoicing, right? But what do we rejoice in? We rejoice in him. He's going to see us through, and he's going to use whatever we're going through for his glory. And we can either be part of the program or we can fight it, one of the two. What a God we have. So this is all about the uprightness of man and the blessings, but it's all about God, isn't it? It always is. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That's an awesome statement. And he doesn't do it on his own. He can't. But with the Lord's help, he will guide his affairs with discretion. That's the righteous man. The state of righteousness, the blessed state of the righteous. I love this one. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Everything spiritual is eternal. Everything material is temporal. This is awfully good. Verse 7. They all are, aren't they? He will not be afraid of evil tidings. You had any evil tidings this week? How did you respond? Oh, no, not again. I'm scared to death, you know? I'm scared to death of this thing, whatever it is. Well, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. You might say, well, it might fit everybody else in this room. It doesn't fit me very well. My heart isn't very steadfast. His heart is steadfast, what? Trusting in the Lord. Your heart is not steadfast apart from the Lord. You're like dust. You are dust, actually, but not with him. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Isn't that great? Your heart is established in the Lord. When you think you got problems, think about the unbelievers around you. Their heart is not established, and so they have fear that we couldn't even imagine, although we were there before we came to the Lord, weren't we? So we've had a taste of that. He will not be afraid. He will not be afraid. All those scriptures that say he will never leave us nor forsake us, he has to keep those. He cannot fail to keep those, no matter what. So the righteous will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Now, that's a very interesting Hebrew phrase there, and so they stuck that his desire in there, not knowing what to do with it, as I look at the commentators. But basically, what I get out of it, our desire should not be private revenge, right? So the desire that I have on my enemies is to see God, you take care of it. So that's the way I translate it. You can translate it however you want, however you see fit by the Spirit. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. So what we want to see really is our enemies know the Lord, really, right? But before they know the Lord, they have to repent. And so it's the repentance that we want to see. But when we're angry at them and trying to get our own revenge, that's the furthest thing from our heart, right? In fact, I want to see the guy suffer. I don't want to see him saved. Think of Jonah and Nineveh, you know? I think we often put that down way below where it is. The arch enemy that skinned the Jews alive and was so cruel we can't even imagine is the enemy that God said, you go save them. I wouldn't have gone either. Well, I probably wouldn't have gone for a whole bunch of reasons, but you know, that's the worst enemy that Israel had. It was the Assyrians. They were so cruel. They would put hooks in their nose. They would skin them alive. And just torture that we can't even understand or really believe in some respects. And then Jonah was told to go preach to them. And he did. It was the greatest evangelistic thing that ever happened, I guess, in the Bible. The whole city turned to the Lord. The whole city, this wickedness, turned to the Lord. And what did he say? 40 days into judgment. That was his sermon. But we see here, until he sees his desire on his enemies. And then, kind of a summary here of verse 9 of where we've been. The righteous man or woman has dispersed abroad. In other words, they're generous. They are givers. They have given to the poor. And now we repeat, his righteousness endures forever, as we had up in verse 3. His horn. Horn stands for power, the source of power. His power, his horn, or his central of his power, will be exalted with honor. Not dishonor, but with honor. So that kind of completes that. Blessed is the righteous man. And now verse 10 is a closing verse with total contrast. This is the unrighteous. Verse 10, the wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So everybody you know in the world today who's espousing godlessness and follow me and my plan or whatever it is, this is what's going to happen to all of that. They will be grieved, they will gnash their teeth and melt away the desire of the wicked. Father, we thank you for your awesomeness, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the promises in your word. We thank you for the blessed state of the righteous man or woman because of your great love for us. Thank you that you brought us into the family. Thank you that we are brides, all part of the bride of Christ, and here we are in the bride's room. What a fitting place to pray, really. So, Lord, guide us in these moments of prayer and put on our hearts what you would have us to lift up. Lead us now in Jesus' name. We're getting near the end. Let's close with another song about us, about creatures. And this is a new hymn. It's only 900 years old.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and let us sing. Alleluia, alleluia.
Father, we do praise your name. Father, as we leave here this morning, may we remember the things that we know are going to happen. So much out there that we think might happen, or even maybe we're afraid will happen or whatever. But what do we know from your word that will happen? We know you're coming back. We know you're going to rapture the church. We know that everyone in these bodies will take their last breath. And we know that the decision made at that time is our choice on where we want to spend eternity. We don't have much time left, Lord. Help us to speak up in those moments when we know we should. Help us to be quiet on those moments when we know we should. Help us to turn our minds to you when we know we should and get off our own pet projects or whatever, Lord. And help us to use these moments, these days. How many we have left, we don't know, but very few. And Lord, may we be the soldiers, or may we be just your servants that you would have us to be, Lord. We can't do much, but you have given us the living hope, the only answer, and that is Jesus Christ. You've given us that, Lord, and we have it. Are we going to hide it? Or are we going to share it? So, Lord, may we be in prayer, and may we be that witness for you as you would enable us and ask us to do, Lord. So thank you for these precious ones here who came again this morning out of faithfulness to you, out of love to you. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the promises that in your psalm today, Psalm 112, for the blessedness of the righteous, Lord, all because of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.